Hello, guys. This week, we talk with the guys from the Bombs Away Comedy Podcast. They watch the best of the worst movies, those B-movies, and then rip them apart. They're going to tell us which movies we can rip apart tonight. And then we tear into Guillermo del Toro's latest film, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Is it worth it? Should you go see it? It's a super creepy Halloween feast for the eyes. That and the scariest news of the week, Ben, that you're going to bring for us this week on The Scare Guy.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Hello, my name is Jim Fry. I am your managing editor here at theconguy.com, which is the sister site of thescareguy.com. And so tonight it is all about thescareguy.com, the scarier side of the Con Guy. Thank you for joining us this week. Hopefully you will follow us, like us, comment, give us some comments in the comment section tonight, or just download us on your iPod and listen to us when you work out. Anyways, we have a lot to talk about tonight and a lot of good guys. It's all guys tonight. It's men's night tonight.
It's the final guy show.
So men, who do we have tonight?
Well, we've got a diverse panel of white men tonight.
Jeez.
Hey, everybody, I'm Ben Cleaver. You can find me... Don't cheer for that. You can find me at Conguy Ben. Just kidding. Don't look for me there. I'm at Ben Cleaver, BenKleiwer, on all social media. And actor, comedian, horror enthusiast.
Yeah.
And monster movies, mostly. I like monster movies.
Well, we're going to be talking to monster movies tonight with our special guest in the room. Who do we have with us tonight?
Oh, us.
That's you.
That's us.
We are Bombs Away. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Tyler.
And we are a B-movie comedy podcast. So what we do is we go on air every week, and we basically watch the movie, and then we come to rip it apart.
All right. We are going to have fun tonight with that.
Yes.
All right. And on the couch, who do we have?
Hi, my name is Derek, and I'm here because I'm Jim's best friend.
All right.
Very true. I thought I was his best friend.
Oh no. Don't fight over me.
Guys.
Okay. I'm a contributor to theconguy.com and occasionally show up here on The Scare Guy Show.
Yeah. And she's been on the couch with thescareguy.com. And I'm also part of theconguy.com.
And also Jim's best friend.
Yeah.
Everybody I meet is my best friend.
We're the best friends that anybody could have.
So sweet. I love the Howard Stern vibe.
Like each other.
Put on the headset and perform.
Take your shirt off.
Go, train monkey. So, let's talk a little bit about Bombs Away, because before the show started, I kept on wanting to ask them questions. I'm like, wait until we go on the air. Anyways, guys, tell us about Bombs Away.
Sure. So, basically, Bombs Away kind of came from just the idea of sitting in your parents' basement and watching these kind of bad movies. Things that you know, you would find on the shelf, like the VHS art was insane, and that's what they sold you on. And then when you got home, you pretty much sold a really bad bill of goods. So it's channeling that adventure of exploration of these kind of bad movies, and then taking that to the next level, like you would with your friends, and be like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
You know, and just really ripping it apart.
But it comes from like a place of love for the both of us, because we love these bad movies so much. Like, it's our whole life now. So
it really is just our whole life.
Yeah.
They collect them all.
And we have a photograph of you guys. This is how I met you.
Asleep in our booth.
What is this that we're looking at right here?
Okay, so this is our booth that we kind of constructed, going back to your parents' basement. Going back to, I'm from the East Coast, so those of you who know basements, that's
right.
That's very much an 80s basement. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, just watch Stranger Things. Look at the basement in that. It's the same thing.
Good to go.
There's wood paneling. There's old coffees, like colored couches. There's an actual CRT television there playing real VHS. It's just to give you that vibe, that feeling that like you're back there doing exactly how I described in the intro.
So when we came and found you guys, this was at the convention Midsummer Scream, which just happened last weekend, and you guys were watching crazy, great with the quotes, movies on your... Is that a VCR up there?
Yes. Yes.
You actually have a VCR, huh?
Yeah, I edited together a super trailer cut of all of the 80... or all of the horror films that we've covered on the show, which is actually a huge chunk of what we do on the show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because so. I went through the list of a lot of the films that you guys are, like, staff picks and things that you've done, and not... And we're going to talk about that in the second half of the show, but...
Sure.
Some of them I was surprised to find on your list of B-movies. You know, like Jaws.
Okay, well, there's a whole thing there, and we can get into it, but should I now? Or?
No, we're going to wait until the second half of the show for that. But the thing is, like, by the way, there is somebody else that we neglected to introduce who might also have questions for you guys. Ryan in the booth, our extraordinary engineer, keeps
us
going each week.
Thank you so much, y'all. I'm really excited to be here. Oh, hi. Oh, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah. Where is he? Man, I thought it was going to be like surprise guest, be like, your ex-girlfriend has got questions.
No, it's just a voice.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, my God.
No, he's jumping up and down on the couch.
Speaking of girlfriend, though, Tyler.
Yeah.
You have something coming up in a couple weeks that's kind of cool.
Yeah, my bachelor party is next weekend.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, going to Vegas. And I'm getting married in October. So, that's a good cheer there.
Somebody cheer.
But can we talk a little bit about the live audience component of what you guys do?
Yeah. Every month, we host a live show at the Frida Cinema in Santa Ana, California. We choose a movie that we're going to show. I mean, obviously, our shtick is it's going to be something bad. And we show the film in its entirety, and then afterwards, we get up on our stage, and we rip into the movie. Last month we did Roadhouse.
Yep.
But the big one this month, this coming weekend actually, Huge. We're doing Chopping Mall. So we
Chopping
are so excited.
By the way, for the record, me and Cheeseman watched it last night.
Was it your first time watching it?
And I have never seen it before except for my boss in my day job has been talking about this movie for weeks just because he discovered the name of it. He says it's the best name he's ever heard. He'll never watch the movie.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah.
What do we think about it?
What do we think about it?
What do we think about it? Cheeseman, what did you think about it?
It was interesting. If it was on the martini scale, I think I'd need a few more, but it was a crazy one.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of it, but...
Oh, it's weird. It's
these
wild
robots, you don't want to mess with them.
Killer mall security, basically.
Although I think Stranger Things Season 3 could have been a little inspired by it with the whole shopping mall setting.
Yeah.
Thanks to Chopping Mall, we may have got part of Stranger Things Season 3.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't doubt it. I thought it was downright terrible.
I'm just going to tell you.
Well, that's why we're covering it live.
However, we kept on saying, if we were drinking a lot and in a theater
and
full...
And we needed you guys there. We needed to handle it together.
In a theater full of other people who were drinking a lot, that would have been fun.
And they do sell alcohol at the theater.
Yeah. Because
that's exactly what we try to bring with every single live show, is this vibe of, like, you're going to watch the movie, and you can make catcalls, and you can basically, you know, for a reference point, you can Mystery Science Theater the hell out of the movie if you wanted to. We got people all the time. This guy over here is laughing the whole time, even though he's seen the movie already. We invite this atmosphere of, like, come see the movie, you know, like, make your own jokes, like, during it. Like, audience participation is huge for us. Come have a drink and enjoy the film, and then enjoy us afterwards, like you know, like you would at a comedy show.
Yeah.
How do people get tickets?
Okay. The best way to get tickets, because the link regularly is really long, it's linktr.ee/bombsawayshow. That'll take you to our link tree, and there on link tree a million links for everything that you can find from us, but there is live show tickets. You click that, it'll take you to the page at the Frida.
Very good. If they go to just bombsawayshow.com, is there a way to find their way there?
Bombsawayshow.com is strictly for the episode, so the link tree link is the best thing.
Okay,
link tree
is the best. You can find the live show, you can find t-shirts like this one, Mac and Me. Love Mac and Me.
After the show is finished tonight, we will put the link right there
with the show.
So, but if you can say it one more time.
linktr.ee/bombsawayshow.
And that is for Chopping Mall this weekend.
Yes. Right.
All right, guys. We are going to do a little bit of news of the week, but when we come back, we're going to jump all into our favorite B-movies, and we'll let you guys rip into them, all right?
Cheers.
All right.
So the first thing up, speaking of drinking, Cheeseman, you had a special day this week as well.
I had a birthday.
What?
Yes.
He turned 42.
Minus. That's at least a few more numbers.
And somebody on the couch gave you a special gift.
A special gift from a special friend, and that's
An open mouth kiss.
I'm everyone's best friend. Yeah.
Well, what did he give you?
We got, this is a new thing. Derek, why don't you even kind of tell me
and
a little bit about
it. I need to give credit to my wife because she was the one who was like, we need to get these for Luke for his birthday. But these are Walking Dead wines. They make several of them. There's the Blood Red Blend and the Cabernet Sauvignon. The Blood Red Blend has Rick on the cover, or on the label, and the Cabernet Sauvignon has Walkers. And the cool thing is you can download an app and scan them and in front
augmented
of you...
Augmented reality.
Yes.
And Ryan, I think, has a little video clip that shows us a demonstration of exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. So they'll interact, and when you have both of these, Rick will come out and slay the walkers.
What? Amazing. In your own house, apartment, or outdoors at a picnic table.
So don't drink the cab unless you've got a bottle of the Blood Red Blend nearby.
All right,
nice.
I do have it up, y'all.
All right, cool. Okay. All right. If you can show us. So this is what happens if you download the app.
Hold on. We got to play that back. All right, here we go. This is what happens if you download the app.
Okay. Oh my god! This is awesome. So, for those of you who are listening and you're just hearing all kinds of noises, there's the two wine bottles.
There might be walkers all over the place, so keep an eye out.
They're bursting out of the bottles, sitting on the table. The zombies and Rick. And Rick is fighting.
And now they're fighting over an axe. They both have the axe. Listen, I used to call sports on the radio. Oh, now Rick
down
with axe behind one of the bottles.
And yeah, that's how you get blood all over your counter. Yeah.
Now,
is there only two bottles, or like?
There's another one in Michonne, I think. Okay. I know of three.
Yeah.
And I don't know like how much they all interact with one another, but they do some cool things.
So this is a Blood Red Blend here, the one with Rick on it. And then this is a cab right here with the regular one with the walkers on it, which are great red wines. Look at you picking up good wines. I'm so proud.
I'm so proud of it.
These are awesome wines.
I think you had some help from us.
It's a good idea to go shopping with a list from your wife.
The third one's Herschel.
Yeah. It doesn't have a top to it. You
know? Are they California wines?
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
They just may be, but what's the percentage on these? They're both 13.5. Yes, California wine. Yep. Made by the last
happy
wine
birthday,
co.
Luke.
So speaking,
happy
birthday, me. So Derek, since you are you've got the mic, could you take us through some events that are coming up?
I totally can.
All right, fantastic.
So coming up in the next few weeks, August 23rd through 25th, first is CreepyCon in Knoxville, Tennessee. That's CreepyCon Knoxville. And then August 30th through September 1st, the weekend of Labor Day, Creature Feature Weekend in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which, by the way, I hear all kinds of stories about the Gettysburg battlefield being haunted, going to a horror convention there sounds appropriate.
If you've never been before, I recommend checking out Gettysburg. It's creepy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I talked to like Civil War reenactors who had camped out there, and they talked about just hearing people marching and hearing drums going by and like looking out and then not seeing them, and yeah. Anyway, September 13th through 15th is Son of Monster Palooza in Burbank, California. And the same weekend, September 14th through 15th, is Scarefest Horror and Paranormal Convention in Lexington, Kentucky. And finally, October 5th and 6th is Monster Mania in Hunt Valley, Maryland.
Fantastic.
Maryland.
And I'm excited for Son of Monster Palooza because they are doing a Terminator 2 panel on Sunday.
What?
And Edward Furlong's even going to be there. And Robert Patrick. I mean, they're there. I assume they'd be on the panel.
And speaking of some of our favorite B-movies, they're doing the 40th anniversary of Phantasm
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm super stoked about that.
And some creature stuff, too, which
I know. The lady from Creature from the Black Lagoon, the heroine, her daughter is going to be there talking about, you know, her mother's adventures, filming that. So it's my favorite monster, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
Creature.
By the way, I got to call this out. Monster Tees, another great shirt. Got this at Monsterpalooza as well. By the way, for anyone who wants to...
And Ben's is too.
Yeah, this is also Monster Tees.
Mine's discontinued, though.
Yeah?
What? Yeah, they discontinued mine. I think it was copyright infringement or something.
Yeah.
That's one, too. Maybe I can get one on the ground.
What's your shirt now?
It's Mac and Me.
Okay,
it's Mac and Me. Literally the McDonald's like logo.
I don't but see it. It doesn't look familiar at all.
Right. I've never seen that restaurant.
There's no copyright infringement there. So, Ryan, we are going to do the three scariest minutes of news. And you can let us know when you are ready for us to do that. Or do you want me to just time it with my stopwatch?
No, I got you guys.
All right.
I am going to count you in. And I'm going to have a full-size timer on the screen.
Oh, yes.
This is going to be... It's going to be legit.
And as always, folks, I have not looked at any of these before reading them right now live on the air.
And he's going to yell at me
because galore.
There are so many typos, I'm sure, in this.
All right, then.
I will read them with the typos.
We are starting this.
You ready?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Halloween Horror Nights. Giant water screens highlighting iconic horror scenes accented with more than 100 fountains, awesome special effects, pounding electro music, lasers, and more will bring this all-new experience to life, creating a larger-than-life mixtape that guests won't want to miss. Guests will witness a twisted new take on Netflix's Stranger Things, Sony Pictures Ghostbusters, Universal Monsters, and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Killer Clowns from Outer Space as they invade the Universal Studios Lagoon for Halloween Marathon of May. I'm running on event nights at the world's premier Halloween event. Halloween Horror Nights. Also, speaking of Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, a few more mazes have been announced. One based on Jordan Peele's Us, not U.S.
It's the same thing.
One based on the old Creep Show, and one based on Rob Zombie's House of 1,000 Corpses. And check out our special Halloween Horror Nights show in 2 weeks. Lionsgate's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark fell a reasonable -52% in its sophomore frame for an estimated $10 million at the weekend box office. The much-hyped film from director Andre Uverdahl and producer Guillermo del Toro brought its domestic cum to $40.2 million, the second-best showing of the summer for a horror film, trailing Annabelle Comes Home so far. Boom! Studios upcoming...
One of our favorite comic book publishers!
Upcoming Something is Killing the Children has been upgraded from a miniseries to open-ended status as the result of high demand from comic store retailers. The series, which launches next month, is the creation of Detective Comics and Justice League writers James Tynion IV and artist Werther Del Edera, Briggsland, G.I. Joe, Cobra, and tells the story of a community torn apart by a series of murders of local children and the mysterious appearance in the town of the unfortunately named Erica Slaughter.
What a name.
Who claims she knows how to stop the killing if she can be trusted. Boom Studios editor Eric Harburn said in a statement, "With many more monsters to defeat and stories to tell, this is just the beginning for fans of horror comics." So we got 55 seconds. We're
no
fine.
Time.
Freeform is stirring up some scares to celebrate their 31 Nights of Halloween. I love the 31 Nights of Halloween. And it will kick off the event with their Halloween house. Starting October 2nd, Freeform will open the gates to an interactive, immersive experience located in Hollywood, California. That will be the ultimate destination for Halloween lovers. Now in its second year and located at the historic Hollywood Athletic Club.
30 seconds.
The Halloween house will see the return of cult classics Hocus Pocus, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, and The Addams Family as they are all brought to life. The house will also welcome Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, as well as Scream, Scream 2, Scream 3 to bring some frightening fun to the interactive space.
Wow.
Bam!
10 seconds left.
That was perfectly timed. Perfectly timed. Yes, it is us and not U.S. I don't know why I put the... I just always put periods between the U and the S. I don't know what that means. All right, Ben. Good job.
Jordan Peele's film, United States.
It is scary.
It could have a double meaning. Could have been U.S.
I don't
never
know. I think it kind of meant a little bit. But anyways, it's not called us. I mean, it's not called U.S. It's called us. But anyways, and like he said, in a couple of weeks, about 2 weeks, we're going to have a very special Halloween Horror Night special right here going over both
special
events. Going over both events
special.
On both coasts. Because, because it begins September 6th. So we're trying to get in on the preview nights and see if we can get in. Fingers crossed, guys. Universal, I hope you're listening. We want to come. So hopefully we will have a lot to share with you guys.
Special.
And you talked about scary stories to tell
in the dark.
Stories to tell in the dark.
That is such a long time.
I have a secret confession to make.
Okay.
So I've grown up, and when I heard the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was coming out, I was like, sweet, I loved that when I was a kid. And the more research I did, I was like, I don't remember any of these freaking stories. What is this? And then I was like, oh, I read a book called In a Dark, Dark Room, which was also Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, essentially. But it was different, and they were all super creepy. But I never actually read Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. So I am going into this fresh, I guess.
I had never read it either, but I do remember the illustrations. I always pick the book up. And I think, Ryan, we have a couple of cool pictures. We have three pictures from this. Yeah. So the one thing about this movie, and we're going to talk about the movie, is that they got the creepy stuff down pat.
Jim, like, your girlfriend. Woof.
That's me. That is me. What are you talking about? Anyways, based on the best-selling series of books, young Sarah Bellows turns her tortured life and horrible secrets into a series of scary stories.
To Tell in the Dark.
These terrifying tales soon have a way of becoming all too real for a group of unsuspecting teens, always teens, who stumble upon Sarah's spooky home. I thought it was great as far as kind of like a kid's horror. Who has not seen it? Or who has seen it?
I saw it.
Okay, three of us. Hey, Ryan, what did you think? What did you think?
I love Guillermo del Toro's work, so I knew he was producing this, so I was really excited to see what we had in store. I thought it was a pretty solid summer scary movie. It was an anthology, which I was... And they kind of weaved it together anthology-wise.
Right.
But I knew it was supposed to be an anthology. You know, I thought it was fine. I think what the problem with the film for me was I don't think this movie... It was almost like he made it for people who were new to horror.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, there's sequences that are just like a little too scary for those people. And then if you're really into horror, they weren't scary enough. So it was like, it was a weird... in between for me, where I kind of wish it went all in on just horrifying, or it eased up a little bit.
Did you read the books at all?
No.
Did anyone in here read the books?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What did you get? You read the books and you saw the film.
Yes.
And how did it stack up?
The title I would give this film is Mildly Creepy Stories That Kind of Don't Come to a Conclusion. And you don't really know whose audience this was for.
That's what my problem with
it
was.
In the dark.
Yeah. But why do you say that?
So basically, in the entire film, I'm watching it, and I love the kids. Mm-hmm. The kids are great. They're giving you that Stranger Things vibe. You know, the same thing that we keep going for lately, Stranger Things. And I'm down for it, because, like, they're picking kids that are unknown, and they're funny, and they're entertaining, and they're keeping the story alive. Meanwhile, the rest of, like, them trying to... If you've read the book is just a series of just, like, isn't this creepy? It's like one or two pages with creepy, right? And they tried so hard to be like, remember the illustrations? We're going to try to build a story around just that. And I feel like we don't really get a conclusion because we don't know what these stories are. They kind of set you up for them, but then they never, like, give you a payoff of being like, and that's why that story is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
They just are like, yeah... There it is. There's the monster.
And I'm going to pitch over to you, but I just want to say, Katie, who is not here tonight because she is feeling ill, her assessment was she liked mainly the first half. It went downhill towards the end, and she was so disappointed with the ending, especially there was no surprise. There was no, like... And it should have been. It's a monster movie. It's a scary tales movie.
That's what I mean. Like, it does not feel scary.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know who their audience was.
I think Mr. Jangly Man was kind of scary coming down the chimney. That was freaky.
But I don't know Mr. Jangly Man's backstory, so I didn't know why he was scary and why the kid thought he was scary.
You don't think that a guy coming down a piece at a time is pretty creepy all by itself? His head rolls out. His body rolls out.
Yeah, that's scary if I'm in the room, but I'm an audience member, right? So, like, you've got to give me a little bit more.
So, I think I would still find that scary.
Yeah.
Even as an audience
piece by piece, I'd be like,
that.
No, I was scared. You know what? I was, the thing that scared me, the only things that really scared me, I kind of liked the first half because it was super Halloween-y, and I love Halloween. It was great. The first time you see each of the scary things, it's scary. That Harold the Scarecrow?
That's my favorite story from the books. I haven't seen the movie, but that's my favorite one.
I was so sad when they, like, beat him with a bat. I was like, don't touch him.
Get your hands off Harold.
No, wait, this is a Del Toro film. So does Doug Jones play every character?
He's all the children.
He's all the children. I wonder if he was in the movie. I didn't even think about that.
He probably was there somewhere.
Keep your hands to yourself, fish.
Cheeseman on the couch.
One of my thoughts, which was the same as Jim's, because he said the exact same thing. Like, I wish it was all on Halloween night, because them kind of starting there and then kind of being after Halloween kind of, like, took away from that, or at least start before and then build up to the last night being Halloween would have been more of a cool thought in my thing. And then, like, I mean, I definitely felt like I enjoyed it a lot more than this, but I thought it was good. It was fun to watch. It wasn't, like, crazy too long. I think it was like an hour and 50 minutes or something like that.
I wasn't.
If you're
timing,
at AMC,
so
they add another 30 minutes of preview, so it did go over 2 hours. But
and our 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, our 8th panelist, Brad, who never shows up here, but he always texts. Brad Young says, "Y'all are coming down hard on that movie. It was surprisingly good compared to most of the crap that's getting released these days." That is true.
Yeah, no, I don't want to hate on it.
No,
it was
I don't
want to
hate on it either. I think it was like it was kind of fun, and I do think. You said you didn't know which audience was. I think it was supposed to be for that young adult, the older than teen, not quite adult, that audience. And for them, I think it was kind of super creepy.
What's it rated?
PG-13.
Yep. Yeah, PG-13.
It's for 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
No. Done. Settled.
First
there
date movie.
Yeah. There you go.
I guess my final thought on it is, though, that it's really, really kind of attacking nostalgia for those who grew up with it, right?
With the books.
So it should be for an R audience because we're grown up now.
That's a good point. That's a good point. It felt like it was trying to be an R movie, but it kept on pulling back right at the... Like, I remember even the scene, and we're not giving anything away, when Mr. Jangly came down, and you know the husk of his neck, the gross part? You saw for a second, and then the camera panned up just so you couldn't see it. You know, they kept on hiding the stuff that would be gross.
It was scared to scare you.
Well, except for the one guy that the big the tummy stuff. That
ooh. You just love the face part.
Oh my gosh!
You mean let me give you a scary hug?
There's that. The one thing I could not take is the giant pimple. I always had to turn away.
That's the only story that they actually did from start to finish exactly how it is in the book.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was just like, look, there's a pimple. There's spiders inside. Boom.
And this guy can't even watch a Carl's Jr. commercial because it's too close up.
I don't like close ups of people's faces when you can like see the hairs and the pores and stuff.
Let me ask you this.
Oh, so Ren and Stimpy.
Right. My wife loves Dr. Pimple Popper.
No.
But she hates spiders. So
this movie's 10 stars for her. It's got everything.
Because they never pop the pimple. It's all spiders inside there. Oh.
Spoiler alert!
Where's our spoiler alert?
I know, I shouldn't have.
Sorry.
We're 2 weeks out, right?
So how do you guys usually grade movies? When you're looking at... No. Do you give like a yes, a no, thumbs up, thumbs down?
We looked at each other because it is wild. Okay. You want to go for this one?
Yeah. We rank our films on a Jaws scale. Jaws 1 through 4 is our scale.
That's the most perfect scale I've ever heard of.
Because they decline so quickly. Jaws 1, it's like a masterpiece. It's everything you're looking for.
Perfecto.
Jaws 2... It's the same thing, just not as great.
Yeah.
Jaws 3, not great, but maybe it's okay.
But
you'd still
Shamu,
watch it.
You know?
Is Jaws 3 reserved specifically for films that were released in 3D?
Yes. And then Jaws 4 is just like, this is unwatchable.
And then there's one more, though.
We have a secret fifth rating, Cruel Jaws, which is the Italian knockoff Jaws film.
Which they titled Jaws 5.
Yeah. Did they really?
Yes. It's called Cruel Jaws in the States, and in Italy it's called Jaws 5.
Oh, it's crazy. Wow. I've never even heard of this.
Yes. It's wild. Imagine
Is it the Jaws?
Yeah. Imagine a film in which they just completely rip off every single possible thing that they could from the other four, but then also like go as far as to steal real music. Like, there are like pieces of score from Star Wars in it.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Like, what? I'm not joking.
Did you guys ever see? Okay,
at least it's the same composer.
Speaking of, speaking of Italian ripoffs, there was The Exorcist, and then this movie called Beyond the Door, the Italian remake, kind of The Exorcist. The woman is pregnant with a possessed baby.
What?
It was almost the exact same
Rosemary's
movie.
Baby?
Yeah, I was gonna say Rosemary's Baby. No, but she flies around and stuff.
What?
And they rip the baby. Anyways.
Ooh.
You guys. That's my suggestion. Okay,
wait, what's that movie called again?
Beyond the Door.
Beyond the Door.
Beyond the Door.
I don't want to do those goddamn Italian films.
So, no, what was your rating? As good as Italian Spider-Man.
And we're going to jump into Bombs Away, but what's your rating for stories that... The long... Stories You Tell in the Dark.
It's a Jaws 2 for me. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not a masterpiece, but I feel like with a sequel, which they set up for... we could get a lot of explanation that was left on the cutting room floor, and I think it could, if they go with the kind of theme of saying, like, oh, there's three books, so there'll probably be three movies, mm-hmm. we might get a satisfying conclusion to the entire thing.
All right, Derek, Ben.
Interesting.
What is your understanding of B-movies? What is a B-movie?
Well, you know, I was wondering about this today, and so I asked my handy Echo Dot, which was sitting there in the living room, and I was like, Amazon, what constitutes a B-movie? And Alexa said, you have Spelling Bee enabled. Would you like to play now? And I was like, I didn't know I had Spelling Bee enabled. That's weird.
I thought they were just going to recommend B movie.
Well, that was afterwards. I rephrased it. I said, what is a B movie? And she said, B movie was an animated film in 2004 starring Jerry Seinfeld. And I was like, you know, that doesn't help me much either.
What's the deal with these pilots?
There's honey everywhere!
So, like, I tried looking it up, and, like, there was some definition. I sent it to you, Jim.
I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah, let's find that, because that helped me so much.
Wow,
to, you know.
We don't even have a
here definition. Here we go. A low-budget movie, especially formerly, one made for use as a companion to the main attraction in a double feature.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was legitimately the B movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the B side of a record.
Exactly. Yeah.
I never knew that.
So it was basically, it was films that basically they couldn't market alone. Like, people weren't going to go see them just solo. So they were actually made to be the companion to something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like the Star Wars solo stories.
Come on, Rogue One's great.
Actually, it is. Yes. And I actually did not mind Solo as much as a lot of people did.
No, Solo's fine.
Solo was better than I enjoyed. Let's just be honest.
Solo was way better than it had any right to be, and I love it.
Yeah.
All right, personal opinion. So, on your scale, shopping mall.
Oh.
Or you would not want to give that away until this weekend.
Yeah, yes. That's why we're like, okay.
But we'll just say, like, slight hint, we love chopping mall.
Yes. No, because it's insane. Like, the thought of, like, technology going crazy has always been, you know, as technology grows, it's been there. So, like, to be able to turn that on its ear and basically be like, yeah, if lightning strikes, anything could happen.
Lightning struck so much in that
movie. Yeah.
Like, there was one
throughout the 80s, actually.
No, for like 10 minutes. It was every other scene. It was the Beverly Center, wasn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it
is.
It's the Beverly Center and the Sherman Oaks Galleria are the two malls that it's shot at.
Since I know nothing about this movie right now, I'm just picturing the 80s robot that you see in, like, the Robin Sparkles videos on How I Met Your Mother, and, like, one of those go nuts
kind
and start
of,
killing people.
He has treads. Well, it's three of them.
They're all in Short Circuit.
That's more along the lines of Short Circuit.
And it's the same plot. And literally, like, lightning strikes Johnny Five, and the same thing happens. He comes alive.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. He just needs input, not blood.
But there's not 15 naked people making out in the Beds for Us store.
Because that's what you do. Like,
that was the weirdest thing.
I don't know about you, but I go to a mall and I get busy.
in the Mattress King store.
That's right.
With giant pane glass windows.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but that's standard, though, for an 80s B horror flick, or even a 70s B horror flick for that matter. You gotta have titties.
Yes.
Blood. Bloody titties. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a Corman film, so it's another thing.
It's Roger
that
Corman.
Was his rules. Like, so what you're saying is basically he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna need more titties."
So that was a Corman rule, huh?
It totally was.
Every movie, some movies went to Corman and then came back, and he said, "Here's some more money for reshoots. There's not enough TNA in it."
All right.
So he was just
a prime example is Slumber Party Massacre. Like, he that that was a pretty much a feminist movie. It was directed by a feminist, and she made her cut, and he went, yeah, I'm going to need a shower scene. And made her go back and do a shower scene.
It's insane.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, those movies just wouldn't fly today, would they?
No.
Or would they?
No, they might. There's an audience for it.
It depends on what it is, because like you look at movies from like even 10 years ago, like the Grindhouse films, you know, like they're there for a certain audience, and that audience like is eating it up, and that's kind of that's where we live, you know, is these audiences are just like, yeah, we want more. So, but like today's audiences and today's movies, I feel like they're leaning too hard on trying to be a B movie, that it's not genuine, it's not honest. Like these films, like this Chopping Mall, for example, came out and was like, yeah, like it's a B movie, but like we're being serious about it. Nowadays they're like leaning into it and it's too meta. It's like Sharknado, you know, stuff that. Right? And to me,
Zombie Tidal Wave, have you heard?
That's brand
the next
new,
one, right?
Yeah. Crypt TV, what's up, guys? Yeah. No, we met Crypt TV at Midsummer, and they were so kind and so generous and was just like, what do you want? You want the director of Sharknado to show up? We'll try. You know, I was like, I would love any of that. So shout out to Crypt TV.
Yeah.
Now, well, do you guys strictly stick with B movies, or do you do some movies that weren't meant to be B movies but just did really badly and were awful?
It's a great question.
Yeah, we'll kind of give the man, it was getting so long into Midsummer that we changed our whole spiel. it's just that like we really will do anything as long as it's bad. Okay. It is even if it's like public opinion.
That's the theme of the night. We'll do anything as long as it's bad.
We did Roadhouse, which it's a terrible movie, but a lot of people will argue that it's great.
I think a great example, and one that people actually were upset at us with at the live show, we did Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, look at you. You're even shocked.
I remember
right? And Demolition Man, when you think about it, you're like, this is ridiculous. This movie is insane, right? But people, like, we had a split audience that night. People were absolutely like, hell yeah, I'm on board. Or other people were genuinely like, I can't believe you picked this, and I can't believe you're talking bad about my movie.
Yeah.
So, like, we do get that. But at the same time, we genuinely go back to what Tyler said in the beginning is, we celebrate these films. So, like, we showed you Demolition Man because we love Demolition Man. Like, but it's not a bad thing to say, like, it deserves a little poking. It deserves a little fun.
Empire Strikes Back. Just do it. Just do
that. Oh, my God. Yeah. Let's do it. Well, let's do Phantom Menace and see where we go.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Ryan, were you saying something? I'm sorry. Oh, what's the difference between a B-movie and a cult classic?
Oh, it weaves in and out, because a cult classic can be a B movie. It's just, God, that's a tough, like...
No, I think you said it perfectly, is that a cult classic can be a B movie, but it has to get to that status of, like, you need to watch this. This is crazy. Like, just stop what you're doing, like, and watch this. Like, we have many examples of films that, like, we sing the gospel of, like, constantly. Yeah. And these films that just hit this plateau of, like, you've gone beyond bad, and now you're just, like, cherished. You're loved. Like, I think a great example from back in the day is Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
You know? Like people did not understand that. Like, to this day, when I sit somebody down to that movie, people are like, what is happening?
You can't watch that without a crowd.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, and it's such a weird movie, and it doesn't follow, like, a proper format.
No.
But,
not at all.
But it's so entertaining, and it's so, and much like many B-movies and cult classics, it's entertaining. It doesn't matter if it makes sense or not.
Yeah.
It has this cultural effect. You know, it's something that you connect to in it.
And there's big budget movies out there that can be cult classics too. It's just it's one of those, like, a cult film is just like it has a following. We're trying to get a following on several films that we love so much.
We're trying to that's kind of the mission statement for Bombs Away. It, like, from the beginning, from the creation of when I just sat here and was like, I want to do this as a show, is that, like, I would sit down with coworkers such as Tyler at work. We had a lot of free time at work, and I would just be like, check this movie out, right? And just realized how much fun everybody around me was having with whatever got screened, that it was like, I need to bring this kind of awareness to everybody. Like, everybody needs to see Miami Connection.
What do you think? What kind of movie they're talking? What's your favorite movie this time?
Well, it kind of reminds me of like like when I was in high school, one of my friends went on a ski trip, like my friend Jake, who we've had part of the show, and we were very entertained by Jack Frost 2 that takes place in Hawaii. It was just
the horror
the horror one that's just very ridiculous.
Because the Michael Keaton was bad too.
Yeah. But that was more of a cute family.
Yeah. But we made my dad and his workers all watch, and they're like, what is going on? Like, me and my friend are just cracking up at this. They're just like, stupid high school kids and stuff. Yeah. But that was a movie like that. Another movie I don't know if like would count in this kind of a thing, which I would love to go to a screening of, Three Ninjas. I freaking love to watch that movie.
We've been curious about that one very specifically because we're kind of arcing from, like, we're doing a lot of 80s screenings right now.
Yeah.
But the 90s is in the zeitgeist of, like, you got bands like Saved by the Band out there that's doing stuff in Hollywood, like, constantly, and are channeling, being like, we're doing 90s music, and the kids who are going to bars now, that's where they grew up. So, like, this whole zeitgeist of, like, we've kind of channeled, it's a 30th anniversary of, like, things from 89 right now, so we're moving into this 90s thing. So for you to bring that up is exactly in that umbrella of being like, yeah, we gotta start, like, another thing we're working on doing is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Mm.
You know? Yes. It's right
secret
there.
Abuse.
Yeah. What's that secret? We never find out.
No. So Ben, do you have any favorite B-movies that you would love for them to do a little mini tear apart right now?
Well, one of my favorites. So my big thing that I've kind of developed, real quick little nutshell story. When I joined the scare guy half of this podcast, I was like, I'm not really like a horror guy. And I realized I am a horror guy, and I've watched all the classic slashers and all that kind of stuff. But what I really tend to gravitate towards, if the poster is some small person and then a large animal with sharp teeth coming up behind them, that's the kind of movie I want to see.
That's a good rule.
Right? Yeah. I haven't seen Crawl yet. I want to see Crawl. Oh, yeah. I really want to
see
Crawl.
Do you see Critters?
Yes!
We just did Critters last week on the show.
There you go. Even like the Langoliers, the made-for-TV version of Langoliers.
So we have the VHS set of Langoliers, and we had it in our set at Midsummer, and you will not believe how many people came up and were like, Langoliers! That was it. Yeah.
It's the horror film based on Pac-Man.
Yeah, right, basically.
But one of my personal favorites that I watch every October is the original 1978 Piranha.
Yes!
Oh, wow. I love Piranha.
Okay, so we haven't touched the original. We did Piranha 3D from like a couple years ago, and we've been considering. See, another thing that sometimes we'll do on a live show is that we bring the movie to you in 4D. So we did this with Deep Blue Sea, where
I love Deep Blue Sea.
We screened the movie, but we also like had lighting and fog effects, and also water effects.
You squirt people with water.
Yes,
we had big buckets down at the bottom and squirt guns. Anytime someone was getting wet in the movie, there was a bunch of us just like. Everyone spraying everyone.
Everybody was
awesome.
Wearing ponchos, and
the
theater's
cool,
like,
with this.
Surprisingly,
we don't care. Just spray the water everywhere.
The theater cinema, which is our home, is an amazing place that like is so kind and compassionate, and like so willing to take risks on us. Even like, you know, the whole concept of being like, we're gonna play a bad movie and people are actually gonna come. Like, that's hard to sell. Like, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So like from a standpoint of just being able to have a home who's just like, oh yeah, that sounds really awesome, like, let's take a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Frida Cinema in Santa Ana is an amazing independent theater that deserves so much attention. It's the only independent theater in Orange County. It's where we record.
Seriously?
Only one.
And it's where we have a studio in their projection booth,
mm-hmm.
and this is where we record our weekly episodes, and this is where we do our live show right now. And it has helped us grow. It's our 1 year anniversary with Chopping Mall for live shows, and it's helped us grow into the ability to be able to go to Midsummer, to be able to go to, we're going to NostalgiaCon next month.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I was thinking about going there.
That's where we're going to try to do Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So to have a place like this, it's an amazing home.
Let's put it that way. Is there a plane flying?
That was a rocket just launched outside.
Wow. Sick.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Yeah. Mind. So I noticed the first episode you guys did was M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening.
Yes.
Being from Philly myself, they actually shot The Village in my backyard at home.
I love The Village.
I know. I love Lady in the Water.
Yeah, see, M. Night, he's okay. Yeah.
I was just curious, like, which M. Night film do you think you've torn into the most over the years?
I mean, so we've only done The Happening and The Village, right?
But I'm talking just like in normal conversation.
In normal conversation? You know what?
One?
I'm going to be one of those people that, honestly, when I first saw The Happening, I was like, I'm okay with it. I was. I don't know, because I love the concept, but like I just hated the third act, you know? So like that's the one I would talk about most. I have not seen Airbender. Not seen After Earth. So there's a couple, but like if you're saying Ripped On, it's still The Happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of why I chose that as the very first episode, where I was like, I need something that is universally, like, just right off the bat, if people saw it, they're like, yeah, it was bad.
I preach the gospel of The Village every chance I get. I'm always telling people how I love that movie and it's good, so.
I mean, somebody posted an article recently I saw on Facebook that was like, what if The Village is M. Night Shyamalan's greatest masterpiece or something
it's
like that?
It's a good movie.
John Hurt is killing it with lines that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite B movies?
Oh man, I mean, I have favorite bad movies. I wouldn't call them all B movies.
Just go for a bad.
Okay. Yeah, I was getting ready to eat dinner tonight, and I'm like, I'm going to see what's on Netflix. Jupiter Ascending is on Netflix right now, God. And I had to change my whole plans for the evening because Jupiter Ascending was on Netflix.
Have you seen Valerian?
Oh, I love Valerian.
Sorry.
Yeah, but Valerian, okay, like if you take it too seriously, you're not going to enjoy it that much. You can take it for what it actually is. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a really fun, imaginative sci-fi. Valerian, okay. It's special.
Interesting character
choice. Jupiter Ascending, all right.
By Redmayne to not open his mouth.
Yeah, exactly. As far as just, like, movies that are so awful, have you ever seen The Apple?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I hardly meet anybody who's actually seen it.
Yeah, it's basically like it's a musical kind of in the same vein as, like, Xanadu and stuff like that.
No.
It's made by Canon.
Yeah, it's set in the dystopian future of 1994, where a record company basically controls all of society, and you know, you get this couple, and they're tempted to kind of sell their souls to get successful as recording artists, and she gives in, and he doesn't, and, you know, it's a big metaphor calling it the apple.
Dance sex.
There's a lot of that.
It's just a Star is Born.
Basically, except at the end, you know, they all become hippies living outside, and then God literally shows up, walking like out of the sky, and leads them off into heaven in a gold Cadillac or something.
What the hell?
It is so bizarre. Like, this writer just ran out of ideas and had to come up with something.
Yeah. Wait, Brad agrees with you. He loves The Village.
Yes, The Village is killer, man.
He says it has even more relevance now in this time and political climate.
Yes, I would love to go live in a commune.
I have a question. Would you ever consider doing, like, bad TV movies and putting them on the big screen? Like, I remember I used to watch No One Would Tell, which was Fred Savage as a bad boyfriend that was, like, ends up killing his girlfriend.
That's just,
like, so bizarre. And
or
just,
any
like,
Hallmark movie.
Or Fear with Mark Wahlberg. That's a real movie,
We've
though.
Done Fear.
You've done Fear?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we've done Fear. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's doing the Marky Mark.
I would never do that.
He gets people saying that line to him more than anything else, like, say hello to your mom for me and all that. Also, probably because the SNL thing.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah. Okay, so we do have to start wrapping up. Okay. As we start wrapping, give me a couple of your favorite bad movies.
Got it. All right. I'm going to name one, then you can fire one, and we'll just, you know, we'll go for it. All right. So, number one on the list, must see. It's on Amazon right now, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2.
Yes!
It's the best. It is insane. I will say this constantly, that this movie deserves a Blu-ray release, and then I'll be able to check off on my bucket list that I want to be, just like Ryan Turek, I want to be on the DVD commentary of a movie and be, like, put into history of Prom Night 2.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Prom Night 2 is great. Personally, choosing something from the show that we've done that's just great is Nightmare Beach.
Yes.
It's also an insane... I think weekend.
Never heard of that.
The whole thing is on YouTube, as far as I know.
Yep.
It is a spring break slasher about someone on a motorcycle who's just electrifying people with his motorcycle. And it is a mystery, and it is star-studded.
Yes, John Saxon's in it.
Nice.
Michael Parks.
Thank you. Yeah, it's
weird.
It's wild, and it's like got an Italian horror feel for it.
Yeah.
On the action side, Samurai Cop.
I need to see that. I've heard
good
things.
You do need to see it.
Nightmare Beach.
Nightmare Beach.
The
Nightmare
Beach. Repeating it again for our audience.
Absolutely. Nightmare Beach.
Or any of the Nightmare on Elm Street's past four.
Yes. We did two live a couple months ago.
I saw that.
So, yes.
And then just one other thing when it comes to like just this top like echelon of like, my God, that's insane. And we're doing it next month live at the Frida Cinema is... Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
My God, hold on. This is Ryan the Booth. That is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, my God.
It's number one.
It is the number one out of the top 100 bad movies of all time. It's number one B-movie of all time.
Yeah.
We actually covered it on Popcorn Talk Guilty Movie Pleasures a few weeks back.
Yes.
We had the producer of the film, Arlene Sedaris, married to the director... And it's pretty incredible. You can check it out.
I'm going to have to check it out because, like, we are. This is something that happens for us a lot. Is we did Showgirls and we had Rena Riffle, who was Hope and Penny in the movie, come and be on stage with us for Showgirls, and we struggled with this constantly because we reached out to Barbara Crampton for Chopping Mall, and she's on tour right now, or she was like, "I would love to," but we struggled with this. Like,
she's the director.
No, Barbara Crampton's in the film. She's the lead. Mall?
Female,
yeah.
She's the final girl.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. She's also the girlfriend in Reanimator.
Oh, okay.
So we struggle with this constantly, and he mentioned Arlene Sedaris, the wife and producer. I'm like, I don't know if, like, because they said, yes, she'd be down to come. And I'm like, I don't know if I can sit there and make fun of your husband, your dead husband's film, like, in front of you, you know? Like, because at the end of the day, like, we're jokesters, but we're humble. So, like, I don't want to make fun of you. Like, because that's the thing. Andy Sedaris, the director of these crazy skin action flicks, where like we're talking about a movie which has like frisbees with razor blades in them.
Yeah,
we're talking
about
a giant cancerous snake. Like, I don't know how the snake is transferring cancer to other people, but it happens.
It's contagious. You know?
Contagious cancer. Skin, sex, like it, and crazy action where a guy gets blown up on a skateboard. Like, this movie has it all, and like, I'm not quite sure that I can make fun of it in front of like the producer, because I truly deep down inside love it and believe every single person should watch it.
I love it. Hey, Ryan, is that episode of Guilty Movie Pleasures available to see?
Yes, so it's on the Popcorn Talk Network YouTube channel website.
Awesome.
You literally, if you Google Hard Ticket to Hawaii on YouTube, if you just search it, we're the third thing that pops up. It's really fun. She tells us the story behind the frisbee scene, behind the bazookas. We found out all the insider knowledge about the cancerous snake, and we played sound clips throughout and literally got her reaction. It was so much fun.
We actually saw it.
They had a screening at the Egyptian Theater in July.
That's are you kidding me? Well,
yep.
I am officially inviting you guys to come on to Guilty Movie Pleasures with the Santa Popcorn Talk.
Nice.
We got to have you guys back. By the way, if you ever want some guests on your show, Ben would be great at this.
We would love for you to come.
Please come down.
Yes.
Like, and just pick the movie. Pick the movie that you want to do, and we will do it. That's how it works.
Just the two of us.
Three ninjas.
Deal. We're doing this.
Yes.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show this week. Remind us again how to find out about for Chopping Mall or future episodes.
Everything is at Bombs Away Show. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you're looking for tickets, t-shirts, anything else, also just an easier way to find all that, we have a Linktree link. That's linktr.ee/bombsawayshow. It'll bring up a page and it'll have everything you can click to get to where you want to go.
And then we're just on every single like podcast streaming app that you can find. Just search Bombs Away and you'll find us.
All right. We will put the information in our notes tonight underneath the podcast. Hey, guys, thank you so much for tuning in tonight to The Scare Guy Show. We are so happy that you joined us. You can find us at thescareguy.com, the website, or at The Scare Guy on Twitter,
on Instagram, all that other stuff too. Ben, where can we find you?
Yo, you can find me on all social media platforms at Ben Cleaver. That's BenKlieWer. I'm gonna come on the show and mac on some toxic adventure with you guys.
Oh,
all right.
We want to do it live.
All right, and where can we find you one more time? Remind us.
Well, you can find us at every single podcast streaming app. You can also find us on all social media at Bombs Away Show.
On the couch, guys.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at ConGuyDerek or just here.
You can find me on Twitter.
Cut the music.
You can find me on Twitter at
record scratch for that.
At Cheese on Couch is my Twitter, and you can find me on thescareguy.com. You can also check out the Con Guy show as well.
Yep.
And one of our viewers was wondering if anybody's seen the second season of Mindhunters yet and what they thought, because they love it.
We don't have time to talk about
it right now. I was just asking
one
person.
Hey, could you start a new show right now?
I know. We'll talk about
Mindhunters after show.
No, we will get on social and we will talk about that. That's a good question. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. 2 weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks because next weekend is Labor Day. Been 2 weeks. We're coming back. It's all about Halloween Horror Nights. See you then.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.